So what I'm going to read to you now is the same speech that we're reading in every location where we're holding these events. So as most of you are aware, we started in Winnipeg, and that was the beginning of this conversation, and hopefully it'll just keep on going. So some people even waited to hear from Winnipeg before they could decide if they were going to come here, but I'm glad you have decided to come. So we wish to thank the community of Iqaluit, the Inuit people, for allowing us to gather here today and for welcoming us on this traditional territory. We welcome first and foremost a member of the Legislative Assembly, Mr. George Hicks, who's with us today. Later this afternoon, we'll have Mayor Madeline Redfern, who will also address us. Also, all the members of the broadcasting community, professors and students from Arctic College and elsewhere, ladies and gentlemen. So the idea of this series of meetings and our national conference grew out of discussions between John Gagnon, Chief Executive Officer of Wawate Communications, Gretchen King, who's a postdoctoral fellow with me at the University of Ottawa, and also a consultant for the Community Media Advocacy Centre, and Chris Albanati, a PhD candidate at Osgoode Hall Law School at York University in Toronto. Then they approached me in last summer and asked me if I'd be willing to try and secure public money for this project. And I have a long-standing interest in radio. I've worked in all three sectors. I've worked in radio since high school, and I did the drive home. I did all those things. And I study policy mostly now and teach it at the university. So to this group, it was also added the support of Associate Professor Kathleen Buttle, a well-known anthropologist and researcher of Indigenous issues in Manitoba, at the University of Manitoba. So together, the five of us make up the project team. To avoid any confusion, however, we want to make it very clear that none of us are affiliated with the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission, the CRTC, in any formal capacity. There was some people wondering if I wasn't a spy even for the CRTC, but no. So like many of you, we are academics, allies, practitioners, and radio and TV enthusiasts working around a common objective to better understand the landscape of Indigenous broadcasting policy in Canada. After forming the team, a few months of administrative work and patience, we were happily informed that we had gotten funding from the Social Sciences and Humanities Council of Canada, SHRC. We also have support from the following organizations thus far: Wawate Communication Society, the Community Media Advocacy Center, CKWE, First Mile Connectivity Consortium, the Forum for Research and Policy in Communication, Indigenous and Northern Affairs Canada Strategic and Statistics Research Directorate, Media at McGill, University of Manitoba's Department of Anthropology, University of Ottawa's Department of Communication, the Faculty of Arts at the University of Ottawa, the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters, AMARC, UMFM, CHUO, CKDU, CFRT, who is with us today and is recording all these events for us so that we can have a nice archive when I go back to Ottawa, the University of Ottawa, the University of Manitoba, University of King's College, and the University of Alberta, who are also generously contributing to the project by offering funds, administrative support, and space. And although securing funding and institutional support is always a necessary step in projects like this, we want to emphasize that the real work of this project starts now, in full partnership and dialogue with those directly impacted by the native broadcasting policy of the CRTC. The real work of this project is about hearing from those who are on the ground and the front lines of the successes and hardships in the world of Indigenous broadcasting. First and foremost, this is a space where those stories can be shared. The purpose of hearing these stories and having a conversation about the future of Indigenous broadcasting is to see if there are common issues and challenges that can be directly related to the current policies and processes of the CRTC. And as academics, we know that when we embark on a project like this, that we do so with a desire to search for truth and knowledge in the topics we research. We know that this search must be informed by a respectful, ethical, and collaborative relationship with Indigenous peoples who are research partners in this search, not research subjects. With this in mind, we want to make clear that our role here as researchers and allies is to listen and learn from the real experts on the issues and challenges facing Indigenous broadcasting at the community and grassroots level. To the extent that we can do so respectfully, our intention is to share and compare this knowledge with others as we hold similar meetings throughout the country. Our main objective in mobilizing this research is to bring it together at our national meeting that will be held for 3 days in June at the University of Ottawa from the 15th to the 17th on unceded Algonquin territory. Our hope is that this meeting will produce a comprehensive report that can then be provided to the CRTC as it begins to consider how it will approach a substantive review of the native broadcasting policy and the various issues, underscoring the importance for the need of such a review. In closing, we wish to welcome you again into this space. May these discussions be free, generous, and thought-provoking, as well as respectful and kind. Merci, thank you, Nakurmik, Igwich, Tapwe, Hai Hai, Nahe, Kayuga, merci. And so now I would invite our morning panel, and you'll hear a lot about me because I'll be the moderator throughout the day today. And no one else stepped forward, but if someone feels like moderating, you know, you can take my place anytime. It would be a pleasure. So we have Madeleine Degencourt. Has she arrived yet?
I didn't see her.
No, she hasn't.
I sent a text because I was
Okay.
She was joining us.
She's supposed to. You know, but if she doesn't come at this very moment, it is formal in a sense, but then very informal. So you can, you know, we can move things around to accommodate whoever needs to leave or arrive. That's fine. So we're supposed to be part of this panel along with Claude Grenier from Takramiut. Am I pronouncing that right? Nipignat. And also we have Peter.
Patrick.
Sorry, my bad.
It's okay.
Patrick Nagel. Nagel, or is that how you pronounce your last name, Nagel?
Nagel.
Who is also with us on this panel. And I believe Salome wanted to.
From CBC.
From CBC will also join us this morning. Then we'll have a quick review of what went on in Winnipeg. So I'll just give you a few things. Gretchen has put together a piece for Ground Wires, which isn't very long, that we'll listen to, so that you have a sense of what went on in Winnipeg, and also a very short slideshow, you know, what food did they have compared to yours? No, I'm kidding. But you'll get to see who there. I think there is a picture of the food, but of also all the people who were present. Then lunch is on us, so we need to go wherever we want to go for have lunch, and we'll come back and the mayor will be here to make a few remarks. And we have an afternoon panel that's organized by CFRT. Fanny, who's here at the back, will be leading us in that panel. I will have a short break, and also then we'll engage in the policy discussion. But I will, during the panel, obviously push to have answers to the questions that we posed on our website and that I've handed out to you this morning. Because the goal here is to answer those questions. How do we want the CRTC, or how do you want the CRTC to proceed with their review of this policy that hasn't been done for 27 years, whereas everyone else is 7 to 8, which is unfortunate. So how can we get them to do this policy process? Is there some other way of doing it than the usual way? Because it's a gray zone, as we know. It's not written in stone how they need to proceed with these things. There's a place where we can suggest new innovative ways of doing policy. You know, do we want them to go solicit people elsewhere? What is it that you want? And so that's what we're here to collect. And I have no preconceived notion of what that is. Obviously, I've studied policy, so I know what good policy looks like and bad policy and things you shouldn't do. But I'm here to listen and to learn from you. And I'm bringing that back. The next meeting is literally in a few days after the Easter break. I'm headed to Edmonton, where the next meeting will be. Then they'll be in Campbell River, and that's the only one, unfortunately, that I myself can't attend because I will be across the ocean at another conference with 4 of my students. And then we have finally Halifax, so we'll be back in Halifax, and then back in June in Ottawa. So that's where we are. Are there any questions before I get the panel up here? Sure.
Can you outline the CRTC policy?
Right. There are some copies here for you. I think it's better. I don't want to get into and read it to you out loud. I think it's better that you look at it. Because that particular policy in itself, well, one, it's very dated. Second of all, it doesn't look like all the other policies. If you read it, it looks like some, I don't want to be facetious here, but you know, it really does look some documents were cut and pasted together to make it compared to the other ones. You know, and it reads funny. So when you read it, you think you're missing, you know, you think you're reading the wrong document, that this isn't really a policy document. It's very strangely built in itself. So its format is different from all the others. As far as its content, I really like you to read it. I think that's the important thing, to see what's in it and for yourself to describe what are the important parts so that I'm not biased. And that's why I'll refrain from doing so. But we can talk about it offline later if you like.
Right, when you refer to the others, what are you referring to?
The other policies, like the commercial radio policies, you know, for other stations with a different license type. The community radio policy, which, you know, that came out in the revised 2010 revisions. So those policies, so the native broadcasting policy incorporates, the other interesting thing is it incorporates both TV and radio, whereas all the other ones don't. You know, the other ones have separate ones. However, and that said, I think that's actually a good thing, because moving forward, we're looking into convergence and how all these things work together. So although we call this, our website is, you know, indigenousradio.ca, it was just to facilitate things. It could have been Indigenous Media, I guess, if no one else. I think that someone might have already had that website. But it's really for all types of media and platforms that are here. We've invited people from everywhere, from all levels of government, and we said we would do that, and we did. And we've invited everyone, from students to just individuals. Fanny was gracious enough to put up posters in the supermarket. So there's really, everybody was invited to come here. Whether they wanted to or not, that's their choice, but we really made efforts. It was online, on social media, through standard media, alternative media. We sent everything everywhere, and it was just recently translated into a note to make sure that we had a broader view. And that's where we're at. I hope that answers your question.
Hi. So you're a professional of communications in Ottawa. So can we ask you some questions to help us figure out where this is all fitting together? Because you obviously know more about this than we do.
Okay.
So my first question is, why is the policy important? How is the policy going to impact? So the policy changes. Cool. What does it mean, or what are the potential positives for Indigenous broadcasting? What are the potential risks of changing it? Because people just, we run radio or whatever it is that we're doing, and we interact with CRTC so rarely. Heritage Canada is important because of some of the funding, so you know, you understand that role, and you think, okay, maybe their policy is important. So why, the sort of the classic, why do we care question?
I will try to do so. Like I said, I'm trying to do so not to be so biased. It's difficult when you ask me such a direct question. So I'll give you my personal opinion if you want. You can do what you want with it. But yes, the it's kind of a chicken and egg thing right at this time, because the Broadcasting Act is 1991. So it needs to be revised. So everyone in academia will tell you it needs to happen, just because it doesn't take into account the internet, you know, and all these, all the convergence that I'm talking about, technology, etc. So the CRTC has been saying, in a way, we don't want to revise this so-called native broadcasting policy, because we'd really like the government to go in and change the Broadcasting Act. However, you know, that's been ongoing for a long time, that this conversation is happening. Are they going to do it? Are they not? That's the question. So in the interim, you know, this native broadcasting policy has some pull in that sense, has some teeth, because you can force, you know, if there's a push, enough people to say, we want this policy change, it's outdated, we need it to happen. I mean, it's been on the CRTC's agenda now for three terms of their annual planning. It's a three-year planning term, so 2016 to 19. And it was on the two previous ones as well. So, you know, it's about time that they do something, but they haven't done it. So there's ideas why that hasn't happened. One being, there was no Indigenous commissioner at the CRTC. Now with the three vacancies that are theirs, they're hoping there'll be different people. There's never been anyone in community radio either sitting at the CRTC. So those interests are not in the forefront where they could be. So with this review, you know, there are things like that we could say, well, we'd like there always to be an Indigenous person at the CRTC. Obviously, that's government appointments. But, you know, these conversations that we're having, it's not all in the document. It's a lot of the stuff that surrounds the document that make it interesting and that make things come out at the forefront and in the news, if you want. And also funding. Yes, what are we going to do? And what kind of policy do you want? Do we want separate policies per platform? Do you want a new policy that would integrate anything that, in my personal, totally my personal opinion, would be way ahead of everybody else? You know, if you're going to review it, do it right. and integrate everything, including telecom if we get to that point, because this is what we're talking about, which is not an easy thing to do, because then you have all these interests. And I'm telling you, like, I walked into this project blind, really. I mean, I know about policy, but I didn't know about the specificities of all the different regions I was going to get into, all kinds of policy issues underlining on various levels. So there's a lot there, and obviously it's not an easy thing, and I get that. In the meantime, what also happened is, as some of you are aware, the CRTC launched hearings for 5 radio licenses, the ones that were taken away from AVR, Aboriginal Voices Radio. And so that just happened at the end of March. So we're waiting for the results of that, which could come out any time, could be the day of the conference, could be after, could be, I don't know. The chairman has now agreed to come to our conference this June. And there's also a commissioner who will be present. That says something. Do they have an announcement to make? Do they have something to say? They really wanted to be there, so they'll be there. So we'll know, we'll all find out at the same time what that entails. But that means it's important. You know, they're going to show up. And these licenses, too, caused a lot of friction. So to go to Winnipeg, some people didn't want to be in the same room with each other because, obviously, they're bidding for the same licenses. So it creates some conflict. There are also questions, and I'll address that up front, about John being on our project team. He himself, a CAO of one of the communication societies. But in all honesty, you know, he's part of the project team. We talk about logistics, that kind of thing. He can point us in the right direction, but in no terms did I ever have him come out and say, we want this for Wawate. So that, anyone believes that, it's not true. It was the idea of having these discussions. So, and then I'm, you know, since I'm the fund holder, I'm kind of the boss. So I keep it on the academic level. You know, this is what we're discussing. Everyone has the same, on the same playing field. And that's why here, you know, anybody can come to discuss, to talk, and we're recording it, and it'll be on the website. We're not editing it. It'll be straight. That's where we're at. So I hope that helps a bit.
Some of the questions you were asking, we're going to speak about those in our presentation during the panel, about radio license. Just to keep in mind that we did take the time to look at those policies. And as a matter of fact, when we did put the new radio, regional radio together, we used it. And same thing with our community channel. We dig to find the policy, what's
in there, yeah.
Yeah, and we used it. So, we have quite a few points when we start the panel to discuss. Thank you.
So I think we should get the panel up here, you know, get it going, and then you can address, ask them some questions, too, if that helps.
If I may, can I just ask one question?
Sure.
So when you say your group is made up mainly of academics, not so much stakeholders in the industry itself, what is your form of communication? Like, what, with the information that you're gathering through these different forums, how is that communicated to CRTC or to the federal government? And what type of role do you have to play in the direction of the policy development?
Okay, so like I said, everything here is put on our webpage. It's on the website. One day I'd like to give it up to Indigenous people too, because right now I also own indigenousradio.ca. So one day that will be someone else's, I hope. And so we're doing that. We're writing a report. At the end of all this, there'll be a report. We're hoping to circulate it, to make it known at least to all the speakers, at the very least. If participants, there might be too many, but we do have emails so that we get feedback on that, at least to know if the what people have said, or if we've quoted anything that's not out of context, etc. So that's being done. We have invited, like, Heritage, etc. They're invited to these meetings. It's also gone on social media. And then through all of you and all the different people, most of them have agreed to then circulate it in their circles. So that's how the communication is going about. But practitioners, like, in each of the meetings, I'd say the bulk of the stakeholders are really the broadcasters, producers, distributors themselves, not academics. But the idea behind it was to actually get academics, who any of them were doing research, to assist these stakeholders you know, in providing some of the research. We do have some, but there's still very little. So that's, I think, another point that we want to make, is that more research is required. So if the CRTC does come out and say this consultation is going to take place in like a month, you know, in a way it's, I mean, it's a long time coming, but I think we're missing a lot of the data still. So we do have example in Ottawa. We are working on a presentation from StatsCan and other people who hold types of data that could potentially be of help, or at least ways of getting to that information. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay. Any more before we begin? Yeah.
I apologize if this is elementary, but this is new to me. Is when you seem to be speaking about community radio and Indigenous radio in the same breath, are they the same thing? Like, are they under the same policy?
Depends on the license that people apply for.
Okay.
But mostly they're separate. And obviously, you know that there are, we figure between 100 and 200, I mean, I'm being generous there, but at least 100 non-licensed stations also on reserves. And that's, they're not licensed. So what's going on there? What, you know, at the moment, the CRTC doesn't hold any information on those stations either. So as a community, a larger community, do we want some information to be gathered? Do we not? You know, just, and this is different from governance of those stations. That's completely different. But then there are questions of governance. They, basically everything's on the table going forward. But, you know, that's another thing. Yeah, so it depends on the license. But community stations and Indigenous stations, some Indigenous stations are community stations. Some of them act more like commercial stations, you know, in their approach, but they might not, they don't have that license title. So it has to do with, you know, we get into that. And then if you're not for profit, well, we know what that entails as well. So that, you know, in terms of funding and what you can and cannot do for advertising, etc., you're caught in those ramifications as well. So I'll bring, without further ado, up the panel. I mean, we have some time, but I'd really like our panelists to come forward, and hopefully we will have Madeline here with us later throughout the day, so she can also make the remarks that she has to say.